brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. A lot to talk about today. Right off the top, 60 Minutes tomorrow night will air. Now, normally 60 Minutes airs when? I don't know. I never watch the show on Sunday nights. But 60 Minutes also airs on Tuesday nights. And they call it 60 Minutes 2. And tomorrow night, the entire program, normally it's broken up into segments, 20-minute segments or so. Tomorrow night's program is the entire hour, which I've been told they do that only once a year, give an entire hour to one topic. The entire hour on 60 Minutes is on Columbine, and it has a lot to do with our friends, Brian Rohrbaugh, Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh, Sue and Rich Patrone, and others who are fighting the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department for malfeasance, basically, on the job. Overwhelming evidence now released by the Sheriff's Department itself that tells us they could have easily prevented this tragedy. And they've been lying for 2 years now based on their own documentation. They've said they never met with the one family, the couple, that said that Harris was making pipe bombs and death threats, threatened to kill their son at Columbine and as many others as they could. And they said, we never met with the Brooks family. And it turns out now the Brooks have been telling the truth for 2 years. They have met with them, and the Sheriff's Department has been lying through their teeth. And there have been other lies also. The Sheriff's Department, one of their investigators, prepared an affidavit to go to a judge to do a search of Eric Harris's home because his website, he was making death threats and describing pipe bombs he was building, both of which are crimes, and he was already on probation. They call it some juvenile deterrence program they've got, but it's basically probation. And it's a violation of his probation to commit those crimes, and it's a violation of the law to commit the crimes of making death threats and making pipe bombs. And so they've lied about meeting with the Brown family regarding this, and now we see from their own paperwork, their own documentary trail that a judge had ordered released, that in fact they did meet with the Browns. They did know these accusations in detail. They even began to take steps, but for some still unknown reason, the search warrant request, the affidavit, was never submitted to a judge, and the investigation was just stopped. Now, why would it be stopped? The kid had already broken into a van to steal tools. He was on probation for that. He's making death threats, making pipe bombs. The police found a pipe bomb in a field a mile and a half from Eric Harris's house. And the pipe bomb, according to the affidavit written 2 years ago by Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, the pipe bomb they found matched a significant degree of similarity to the pipe bombs that Eric Harris was describing in detail that he was making on his website, on his AOL members' website. So they linked the pipe bomb to the description of the pipe bombs Eric Harris claimed to have been making, and they had the kid on probation, and he was making death threats, and there was every reason to talk to him and his parents and to search the home. And they did none of that, which in hindsight 2020, of course they should have done all of that. But even without hindsight, you got a kid on probation who's violating probation in violent ways, making death threats and pipe bombs. You should do something about it. You don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure out you should do something. Well, they didn't do anything. But then to make matters worse, after Columbine, they began to lie about what they knew. They lied about what they did. And they tried to smear the Browns and their son. They claimed their son, Brooke Brown, was a suspect in the Columbine shootings. on national TV. Sheriff Stone claims that in order to deflect the blame. It looks like the Brown family goes public and said, we talked about this kid a year ago, and the Sheriff's Department didn't do anything. So the Sheriff's Department says, not only is that not true, we never met with them, but we think their son is a suspect. Whoa! What a false accusation. And that stood for a year until the Sheriff's Department admitted they never had any evidence linking their son to the Columbine shootings as a suspect. And it continues. It continues the lies that the Sheriff's Department told about what they knew. And then they also said this. They said, yes, we were aware that there was a report, at least a phone call, they said, that Eric Harris had a website and he was making pipe bombs and death threats. And so we had our officer at the school doing basically surveillance, not surveillance, but keeping his eye on them and engaging them in conversation. And to his best estimate, for a year watching them, they were not going to cause trouble. It turns out that the Sheriff's Department interviewed that cop who was stationed at the school 6 hours after the shooting. And the transcript of that interview just released, that cop says he didn't know Harris or Klebold. He couldn't identify their picture. During the lengthy interview, he called them some other name like Jim or something. He didn't know who the kids were. And so then the continued lie that we never had the information. We couldn't link Harris to the pipe bomb found in the field nearby. We never met with the parents. The little bit of information we did have, we acted upon properly, and we put him under a watch. It's all lies. It's not errors like, well, they were trying to get it right, and they said seven instead of eight. They're bald-faced lies. Bold-faced lies. That's what they are. They're just lies. So anyway, 60 Minutes tomorrow night, Tuesday, April 17th, coming 3 days before the killings. This will be the second anniversary of the Columbine murders. And our friend, my dear friend, Brian Rohrbaugh, lost his son, Danny, in that tragedy. And the whole show is going to be about that topic on CBS. In Denver, it's on Channel 4. Check your local listings for 60 Minutes 2. All right. Now, I also want to talk about Jane Fonda a bit and Ted Turner. A year ago, we talked about on the show that it looks like Jane Fonda may have become a Christian, although she's still a rabid pro-abort. I did an interview with Stan Solomon maybe 2 months ago, and I said, and we talked about Ted Turner, and I told Stan's audience that it seemed to me that Ted Turner was under siege and he's falling apart, although I didn't know exactly why. Well, it turns out that, according to an article coming out, an interview in the New Yorker, that Ted Turner had been fired and that he has been suicidal during parts of the last year. And we'll talk about how he found out that his wife had become a Christian and her thinking about him during that time when she was getting ready to convert to become a Christian. And I want to get to the news story sent in by listeners in Delray Beach, Florida, about a homosexual pride fest down there and homos adopting kids. Well, foster care of kids. And I'd like to talk about a few other issues. We've got some emails, one from a young man, Christian young man, who has gotten an unbeliever, a young woman, a girl, a female, pregnant. And he emails me. I'm going to keep his name anonymous, but he wants to know what kind of advice I could give him. Another Christian guy named Bruce emails me and wants to learn more about psychology. He's interested in that topic. And a wonderful email from a young gal, Lindsay W., 18 years old, from Texas. She's a senior in a high school down there, and she just recently discovered KGov. And I want to get to her email and a couple other little interesting tidbits. And then I want to finish up with this question at the end of the show. Remember when the Texas Seven broke from prison in Texas? They committed murder along the way in their short time in freedom. They end up in Colorado, and they're all caught here. And it was a statewide effort in that the media, the law enforcement constantly used the media to report what they knew about where these seven were and what vehicles they were in. And at one point, the report was that they were driving in a van, in a rust-colored van. And so there were dozens of reports from Loveland in the north to Durango in the south of along the Front Range of Colorado of people spotting them. And one state patrol officer, he was responding to one of those sightings. Now, it turns out there's a lot of rust-colored vans in Colorado. And so there were dozens of false spottings. People saw a van, but it wasn't the Texas 7. And in one of those false sightings, a state trooper was rushing to the scene of, obviously, there's a van driving, and you're going to rush to get there. But we had some snow, and the roads were a little dangerous. And this state trooper rushing to this false sighting of the Texas 7, he crashed near Loveland Pass. He lost control of his state patrol Jeep Cherokee, drove off a ramp of the highway, I-70, and he slid underneath a tractor trailer parked on the roadside, and it killed him. It became a fatal accident, and the van that he was going after turned out to be carrying two construction workers to their job at Keystone, the ski resort. So I'd like to know if there's a criminal and law enforcement is chasing him and someone gets, a police officer gets into an accident in pursuit or in the investigation in some type of situation like this, for example, the one I just described, would the criminal be responsible for that loss of life? So these Texas 7, now I don't think they're all responsible. Well, let me not complete that thought. That's the question. Would they be responsible for this state trooper's death? So you could call in 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you think you have the answer, I'll get to that at the end of the show. And before we get to this break, I just want to mention, after the break, we're going to talk about Ted Turner and his ex-wife, Jane Fonda. They're now divorced. Jane Fonda obviously has been going through a rite of passage, even other than her conversion to Christianity, at least her claimed conversion, because she's still a rabid pro-abort. She's still raising money to kill kids. Now, when someone says, I'm a Christian, we don't automatically know if they are or not. Because Jesus said many will claim, Lord, Lord, didn't we serve you? And he'll say, I never knew you. On the other hand, some people might not look like Christians at all, and they are Christians. So we're going to add to what we've already known about Jane Fonda, this little bit of additional information from her perspective and from her ex-husband's Ted Turner on her conversion, and we'll try to figure out, is Jane Fonda a Christian?
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Enyaart tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here in the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYAART. And have you heard Bob Enyaart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertle? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism, folks. Get the video, Bob Debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
Hey, what's with this? We get a letter here at our KGov studios, which we are in the process of moving, by the way. We're moving them to my basement in my home. And we're thinking about doing the Bob Enyaart Live program in the evenings at 7 o'clock. Let's see, what time? At 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, so that more people could listen live and it'll be easier to get calls. Because it's obviously much more difficult to get calls when people are listening to the archives, as folks do, because many of them are at work at noon Eastern time, when we do the show now. So that's something we're working on to begin in May. But I wanted to mention real quickly, here at our KGov studios, where we've been for years, we get the weirdest mail. Now, not only do we get constant calls from homos, which are pretty funny, and we even get, now check this out, there's a homo phone sex line in Denver for homos to meet anonymously and have sex. And so they call up, they have their mailboxes, they listen to messages. It's a typical phone system dating service for homos. And for some reason, when people in the Denver area call that number, our line number 5 here rings. Now, we don't have line 5, do we? Phone service on line 5? Not as far as we know. If I go to hit line 5 right now, let's see, if we bring up my... We are having phone problems, aren't we? If we bring up my phone here, Carl, if you bring up the volume on my phone, let's see if we have a dial tone. Yeah. No dial tone? No, we're having phone problems. But people could call in, but for some reason, see, we really are hurting when it comes to phone systems in the studio. But if you hit line 5, even when the phone is working, or from any phone in our offices, there's no dial tone. But when some homo calls this Denver phone homo service for the last 6 months, it rings in our office. It rings. And it rings twice. And if we pick it up during those two rings, then we're on the line with the homo listening in to his homo session in this dating line. And, you know, they could leave messages for free and have to pay money to get messages, to hear the messages left for them, things like that. And they put their credit cards in and they have their PIN numbers. And, of course, we get all that information here. If we choose to listen in, and you know, when we do pick up the phone, we always talk to them. And so just on this past Wednesday night, I was getting ready to go to our Bible study, and line 5 rings, I pick it up. And when it says, please enter your PIN number, and they start to hit numbers, and I hit numbers at the same time they're hitting numbers. So they get the wrong PIN number. And they try it over and over, and there's a pause, and I say, don't be a homo. They're like, who's this? This is a Christian. Don't be a homo. And they typically will cuss and say things like, you know, go to hell or something like that. So anyway, it's rather interesting. Now, how does that happen? Why does our line 5 ring with this homo dateline in Denver? We have no idea. And we have not done anything to try to keep it a secret from the customers of that service. Quite the contrary. But also, we get mail. We get a tremendous amount of mail, like medical mail. People sending mail to their insurance companies. Like here, I have one in my hand. Just came to us. Colorado Brick Masons Pension Fund. And it's got our street address and our suite number. High atop the KGov towers. Why do we get all this mail from unrelated medical and pension companies? What I think has happened is, as a form of harassment, even though we just think it's a kick, some homo has been putting our address in different mailings and filings and signing up for information or whatever. I don't know. So we get all kinds of medical mail, pension fund, insurance, Boulder, Colorado State Employees Medical Fund mail. It cracks me up. Anyway, just thought you might be interested in that. So, and you know what we do? When we get mail with return, no postage necessary, if mailed in the United States, that I got one of them right here from the Mega Life Insurance Company. And so we send our anti-junk mail missiles back in these things. So here, I've got a Nicer Than God, and I have the clue that breaks the case, how John and Patsy Ramsey murdered their daughter, JonBenet. So I'll put that in there, and we mail that back to them. There we go. I give it to my engineer there. And that'll go in today's mail. Cool. Okay. What great mail pickup and delivery we have here. All right, so now we've got this interview coming out in the New Yorker about Ted Turner, the CNN founder. And he admits to the New Yorker over the last year he's felt suicidal at times. He lost his job and his wife. It turns out that his father committed suicide in 1963, when his dad was 53 years old. I don't know how old Ted Turner is right now. But Ted Turner he loved his dad, but he admitted to his wife and in this interview that his dad used to beat him. Now, we think that makes for a good dad. But he would beat him with wire coat hangers. And at one occasion, he forced his son to beat his father. because he said to his son, if I spank you, that won't hurt you as much as if you spank me. So he forced his son to beat his father, and Ted Turner says it was the most difficult thing that's ever happened to him. And then his father committed suicide. What a tragedy. And so that Ted Turner says he felt suicidal over the last year. It's not a good sign. Now, when I was talking to Stan Solomon on his radio show in Indianapolis a few months back, I didn't know things were quite this bad for Ted Turner. And I don't have sympathy for Ted Turner. He's one of the world's leading enemies of Christianity and of God. He says that the CEO of Time Warner, remember AOL Time Warner merged, Ted Turner is the leading shareholder of Time Warner, because Time Warner had merged with Turner Broadcasting CNN, and Ted Turner was running CNN Turner Broadcasting, and he was the lead shareholder. And so Time Warner, and he was also, a vice chairman of the corporation of Time Warner. Time Warner merges with AOL. Ted Turner thinks he's going to be involved in how the joint company is going to run. It turns out he wasn't even invited to the meetings. He had nothing to do with it. And then he says he gets a phone call from the CEO of Time Warner. And apparently Jane Fonda agrees with Ted Turner's version of events here. He says he got a phone call from the CEO of Time Warner, and he was fired. He was fired from running CNN and Turner Broadcasting, and he was stripped of his vice chairman title as well. So then the New Yorker, in interviewing Ted Turner, also interviews Jane Fonda and the Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan Donuts, and they interviewed Jimmy Carter, who's a longtime associate of Ted Turner. Jimmy Carter claimed to be a born-again Christian. I never was persuaded. Certainly he's evil and liberal. And, so now, here's what Jane Fonda said about the end of their marriage when she became a Christian. She said, concerning Ted Turner, my becoming a Christian upset him very much, for good reason. He's my husband, and I chose not to discuss it with him, her conversion, because he would have talked me out of it. He's a debating champion. He saw it as writing on the wall. In other words, when he found out she had become a Christian, he realized their marriage was over. Well, because he hates Christians, as he's said in not so eloquent terms over the years. He knew my daughter was having a baby, and it would take me away from him. Now, talk about an unhealthy marriage and insecurity. My daughter's having a baby, and it would take me away from him? What a mess. He needs someone to be there 100% of the time. He thinks that's love. It is not love. It's babysitting. I didn't want to tell you this. We went in different directions. I grew up. So I think in that short quote, I think she went from talking to the New Yorker to talking to Ted through the New Yorker. But at any rate, so when the story broke that Jane Fonda became a Christian through mostly the ministry of her chauffeur, which always sounds a little scary, and he went to some church in Atlanta, and he was witnessing to Jane Fonda, and she used to be a hardcore feminist, and then when she married Ted Turner, she said publicly that she had never been married, she had never been happy until she met a man that she could marry and be his wife. And she said she gave up her career to support her husband, and that, after an entire life, it was that made her happy. Whoa. When she said that, boy, we trumpeted that. Imagine all the women Jane Fonda helped to deceive and said, you'll only be happy with a career. And this is some years before she becomes a Christian, but we could see some honesty in her statement that she had never been happy, and it finally took getting married to a man, a strong man, for her to become happy and fulfilled. Obviously, she was telling the truth at the time. Now, the marriage fell apart for various reasons. And so then the story comes out, Jane Fonda's a Christian. And we think, was that true? I don't think it's something she'd make up for her image. I doubt that. So Jane Fonda becomes a Christian. And we look into the story and the chauffeur and the church he brings her to. And she meets for Bible studies with the pastor. And she becomes a Christian. Now, it's a black church, and the black church loves the Democrats, and they love pro-abortion candidates. And so she probably, even if they think abortion is wrong, the black church as a whole doesn't have the courage to speak out against abortion and to condemn those who support it. So I don't know much about the specific black church she went to in Atlanta, but if it's typical, they wouldn't go out of their way to tell her that abortion is murder, it's wrong. They wouldn't have that as part of her discipleship. And they would even probably approve of her if she brought up that subject. So that's from Jane Fonda's perspective. My becoming a Christian upset him very much because I chose not to discuss it with him. He's my husband. I should have talked to him, but I didn't. Because, and this is a warning to men out there, even Christian husbands, if you're a strong personality type and you could beat your wife down in an argument, whether you're right or wrong, watch out. Because what will happen is she will begin to close up. In crucial matters, when she should talk to you, she won't. So you got to weigh winning every argument with how that's going to undermine your marriage. As obviously it did to Ted, even though he's not a Christian, the same dynamic was at work. Now, when we come back from this break, we'll find out Ted's reaction, how he heard about, and his reaction to Jane, his wife of many years, converting.
Twenty years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist? On someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helens blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helens, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Enyart Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Enyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now, we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-NYAR.
All right, and we are live on the web. Live. Something new for KGov. It took me leaving the continent for my staff to be able to get the time to update our links and get everything right technically so that we can go live. And now we are live. We're excited about that. So Jane Fonda says she's a Christian. She says she kept the whole conversion process a secret from her husband because she was afraid that he would berate her and beat her down in an argument, and she didn't want to be persuaded away from Christianity. So, now when I say the conversion process, in other words, the time it took for her to be convinced to put her faith in Christ, because conversion itself is a point action in time. It's an aorist event. If you know grammar terminology, it's a point action. It doesn't happen over time, but at the point in time that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust Him, then you're saved. So conversion, salvation is not a process, it's a relationship. And the moment you trust God so that you now know Him, knowing God, you have eternal life. Now, Ted Turner described his reaction to Jane Fonda's religious conversion this way. Quote, this is in the New Yorker coming up in an interview. I had absolutely no warning about it. She didn't tell me that she was thinking about doing it. She just came home and said, I've become a Christian. Before that, she was not a religious person. That's a pretty big change for your wife of many years to tell you. That's a shock. Obviously, we weren't communicating very well at that time. Obviously. That's true, and obviously it's clear why. You know, women are responders. Even a strong woman like Jane Fonda will be happy in the arms of a strong man, even if he's not a godly man. Just the basic human relationship. Like even unbelievers, when they're hungry, they're satisfied by bread and meat. Fills them up. Then their body functions. And even unbelievers, an unbelieving woman, if a man treats her with honor and respect and loves her, she's going to respond. And if he's thoughtful concerning her and provides for her, she'll respond. And when she doesn't have a loving man in her life, if she's the kind of woman that's the marrying kind of woman, some few are not, most are, that she's going to be happy when she finally gets into the arms of that man who loves her. So their marriage started out, obviously, romantic, and he was supportive and listened and cared, and then he did what many men do after they get married, they get a lobotomy, and he changed. And she became tired of him and looked elsewhere for fulfillment and found it in Jesus Christ. In fact, the way Ted Turner's oldest daughter puts it, her name is Laura, she says she doesn't think it's just the religion that became the problem. It was just that it was another man. And she said it was Jesus. If Jesus took time away from the marriage, then that was enough to break it up. Well, that's his daughter's opinion. At any rate, so what we find out from this is that Jane Fonda, and it's what we knew and perceived from the beginning of this story of her conversion, was that she's not lying. She's not saying, well, I'm going to make believe I'm becoming a Christian. Now, we still don't know for sure if she is a Christian or not, because she's a radical supporter of abortion. And she, in fact, she spoke in Denver recently at a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. She's a rabid supporter of child killing. We know that. And that's an evil thing to do. It's sinful. It's destructive. Obviously, it's murder. But you don't become a Christian by keeping the law. You don't become a Christian by being good enough to a certain degree. You become a Christian by believing in Jesus Christ and that he rose from the dead. So if she has done that truly, and if she has trusted in him to forgive her sins, then she's a Christian, even if a very immature one. You know, when you become a Christian, the people who lead you to the Lord often affect in a big way what kind of Christian, your early Christian life, how you behave, how you act, what you believe. And so if Jane Fonda, who's a pro-abort, gets saved in a liberal but still Christian black church, I think she's saved. I think she's saved. It's obvious that her husband, who hates Christians, and he's been on record that he hates Christians. Now, before I started the show, I didn't think to... Let's see. Let me go into Al here. Al is my co-host. Al the Third, and Ted Turner. I'm looking in Al to see if he knows anything about Ted Turner. No, he doesn't have one word about him. Al, you got to make a file about Ted Turner. Now, Al has all kinds of information about Jane Fonda. That back in the year 2000, Jane Fonda regrets what she did in communist Vietnam, posing with the anti-aircraft gun. Was the most horrible thing I could possibly have done, she says, in Oprah Winfrey's magazine. And so we got a little bit of information about Jane here. Al, thank you. But not about Ted. But I recall some vicious comments that Ted Turner made against Christians. So our phone number, 800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. All right, Alan, you're going to put that information about Ted and Jane in your memory banks there, right? Thank you. We have it if we need it in the future. Okay. I want to bring this email to you. We got it, KGovLive, kgovlive@aol.com. Hello, Bob. My name is, what should we call this young guy? Let's call him, let's just pick a random name. The first name that appears in the Bible, we'll call him Adam. My name is Adam, and I am from, let's see, let's say he's from Alabama. Okay. I'm 20 years old. I just wanted to know if I'm doing the right thing. I have gotten a girl pregnant out of wedlock. Well, so far, Adam, it's not going well. So far, no, you're not doing the right thing. Well, okay, of course you know that. And that's something you've done in the past. So you want to know if what you're doing right now is the right thing. So getting a girl pregnant out of wedlock is a disaster. Because you've brought a child into the world already. You guys are parents. She's a mother. You're a dad. She has a baby. And are you guys, have you prepared a stable home environment for this child to be raised and to be taught about the Lord and to be cared for? Do you have enough money for diapers and for baby food and for medical care for the baby? And on and on and on. All right, I've gotten a girl pregnant out of wedlock. She doesn't believe in creation. So she's an evolution, apparently. She doesn't believe in God, period. Okay. I asked her to marry me. She says no. Now, I asked her to marry me. Let's think about that. That, God says in the Bible, there's two conflicting ideas in the Bible that we have to weigh and apply. The two, on the surface, conflicting ideas are this. Generally, if a man gets a woman pregnant, he should marry her. It's not an absolute rule, but it's a general rule. And also, Paul says in the New Testament, do not be unequally yoked, do not marry an unbeliever. And I think if you're wise and have some choice in the matter, if you're a very strong Christian, don't marry a very weak Christian. Marry a stronger Christian. It's not always possible. But don't be unequally yoked. So, Christians, don't marry non-Christians. And as a general rule, if you get a woman pregnant, marry her. Because the child needs a dad. And it's really good if the dad could be his actual dad. I mean, adoptive parents are great also. But so those are two somewhat conflicting ideas. Let's continue with the email. I asked her to marry me. She says no, and now she will not accept my calls. She is due in August. I'm thinking I should just wait and try to get back in her life after she has the baby and try to be there for her. I think being there for her is something that a judge is going to force you to do because it's called child support. And for the rest of the next 18 years of your life, you're going to be sending her a couple $100 a month or more. And you obviously, if you go to court and you're not a drug dealer, you may get visitation of your child. What a tragedy. What a disaster. So he's thinking if he should try to get back in her life after she has the baby and try to be there for her. And Adam writes, I'm so confused. I know what I did was wrong. And if I had another chance, I wouldn't have picked the route that I'm on now. If you have any questions or any answers, please email me back. Now, maybe I'll ask my call screener if he could email Adam and let him know that we're talking about his email on the show. He could listen to the archived version. Respectfully yours, The Confused and Lost. P.S. I'm reading the Bible a lot more, trying to stay away from things that will not help me, but only hinder me. I just wanted to know, is there any way I can get a copy? Okay, da-da-da. It would really, da-da-da, da-da-da-da. He wants to be motivated to stick with the Lord. Please reply back. I need some answers. So, here's another young life destroyed by his own actions, a young woman destroyed by his actions, a young child being brought into the world prepared for failure. This kid coming into the world is being set up to be destroyed. And after we create the huge disasters that we do in our lives, then we ask God how to fix them. We ask other Christians how to fix them. We open the book of Proverbs and we say, where's the answer? And sadly, most of the answers are for before the fact. Don't go into the way of a harlot. Don't be seduced by a woman of loose morals. Don't feed your lust. Learn to build a relationship with God, a loving relationship with God, so that you will be able to overcome the temptations when they hit, and don't put yourself into temptation. But now for Adam, he's got a second level of problems. He still has all those problems because he could do this again with another woman. next year. Happen all over again. And hopefully he will learn from the pain and the heartache he's caused. Now, this woman doesn't even want to take his calls. And we know that you can't force yourself on someone. For one, we know that. We also know that she's not a Christian, and he is. And so should they get married because they have a child? Well, Adam, it doesn't even seem like that's an option right at this point. But I guess you're asking, should that be your goal? That's a tough one, because you have a child now. Let's assume it's a son. You have a son, and he's going to be raised by a woman who hates God, who slept around. She'll probably sleep around with others. And most likely, she is going to be a very destructive influence in your son's life. What I think you should do is, I think you should send her a letter saying that you want to find out what degree of child support is appropriate for you to send her, and you want visitation to your son. And if I were you, when the baby's an infant, I would make the visitation even less difficult on the mother and her family, whatever that might be, early on, and then increase it to where when he's a toddler, that you would have him, for example, every other weekend and every Wednesday afternoon and early evening. That's what I think you got to do. I think it's a shame. I think our system is broken. But I don't see that you should give up your responsibility to your son. You also shouldn't try to force yourself on this woman. You've already abused her once. Your chances of being able to minister to her and get her to believe in God, they pretty much went to zero when you used her sexually. So I think if she ever comes to the Lord, chances are overwhelming that it'll be by someone not associated with you. So it's a painful situation that you've shared with us, and I want to let you know that we are concerned for you. It's not going to help you any other than to know that people do bear your burden, and it's painful, and it's especially painful for me, because I've gone through similar circumstances. Not exactly this, but similar. And I've hurt women in the most selfish and devastating of ways. And I've seen the lifetime of pain and heartache that these sins bring about. And so, Adam, let this reinforce to you the basic truth that every time someone gets hurt, it's because we're disobeying God. Every time someone gets hurt, it's because somebody is disobeying God. You've been hurt, but you deserve the least of the compassion of all the different victims here. Your former sexual partner has been hurt, and she's an unbeliever, so she had less reason to know better than you did. And your child has been hurt, and he's the number one victim, the one for whom most compassion should be had. So, Adam, if you'd like to call in sometime, feel free to call into the show. If you want to follow up with an email, But what I suggest that you do is send her a letter. Tell her that you want to find out what's an appropriate amount of child support to begin paying, and that you would like to set up some visitation system that is not onerous, it's not difficult on her, but that you'll be able to see your child and increase it to every other weekend when the child is a toddler. That's what I recommend. Now, if she were the Christian and you were an unbeliever, what I would recommend is that you ask her if she wants to take complete custody. That's what I would recommend in that situation. All right, we're out of time for the show, but the trooper that got killed earlier this year chasing after the Texas 7 in a car accident on Loveland Pass, those escapees are responsible for his death, because in the line of duty he was going after men who were armed and dangerous, and he was killed in a traffic accident on the way to check out a tip, and his death adds to their guilt. And are they still alive, the ones we caught? You mean they haven't been executed yet? They're still wasting air? What a shame. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.